ว่าเป็นคนในการได้เรียนความรักเท่ากับมีที่มีที่เรียนเองนะคือหลักของเราว่าแค่ว่าเอเนสต์ที่จะมีวันที่มีเนี่ยNow that that area, because of the nomadic lifestyle of water, people move from one country to another without being in the church, the boundaries of them, is what is said to intelligence, there's no mention.Noted obviously the efforts by President Yar Adua to deal with the situation. President Adua, as you know, was appointed the Vice President Goodluck Jonathan to deal with the situation. And in Nigeria, as I said, the Nigerian government has adopted a plan to neutralize the various armies in that community, but also from a more sustainable development basis to deal with some of the underlying problems of this particular site, which, as you know, are around issues of the sharing of wealth, the sharing of resources.Revenue from oil. As you know, the Niger Delta holds Nigeria's oil wealth, all Nigeria's oil wealth in the Niger Delta. And yet, that is the most underdeveloped in the world. So it's another issue that we want to address.Another issue broadly affects all the countries in the region. The question of the porousness of the water. And the ease with which arms move from one country, small arms and weapons move from one country to another. The ease with which drugs, funds, because of the absence of effective policing in the border, the syndicate and the process is gathering at the same thing to which the target to move back. Also our concern is the question of human trafficking, which is another emerging phenomenon. Now, overall, in terms of the security situation, you will be aware that West Africa, part of West Africa, also holds the oil-rich Gulf of Guinea, and we will be in concern that the oil in the Gulf of Guinea could be another source of conflict in the long run if it is not managed properly. It could be a source of conflict and tension, not just among the countries of West Africa, but it also includes the countries of Central Africa, like Equatorial Guinea, São Tomé and Príncipe, so on, as well as Angola. But there are also international, there are foreign powers that are involved in that equation, and they are in the midst in the Gulf of Guinea. Foreign powers like the U.S., Chinese are making laden through, then obviously the French involved as well as other powers. So what concerns us about the situation in the Gulf of Guinea, that if it is not managed properly, it could be a type of conversation that could lead to direct instability in the region. In terms of the economic security, I'm sure we'll be all aware that this region is endowed with immense natural resources. Obviously, for the most part, I mean, it's just a pattern of the sources in that region. Massive oil sources, a lot of water in that region. Yes, they can have serious issues around sanitation. Despite this, however, the region continues to be an export of metals. They don't have any industrial base, manufacturing base, to beneficiate the various metals. So they are a net export now. Thereby they look like a lot of things. And indeed, as we have mentioned, trade is being structured like along foreign lines. For instance, the biggest trading partner of Senegal is France. The biggest trading partner of Guinea is now Portugal. So trade is being structured along those frontier lines. In which we have mentioned the fact that the lack of manufacturing, they face massive pressure of shipping investment. all the time we price below 1 cent on the UNDC API, human development index, with high than normal rate. High level of debt at early stages. So indeed, these are very poor countries that take a lot of time. However, what is interesting is that we are seeing a new wave of investment that's coming in, that's going on. And I think this is largely due to the stabilization, the stability that we're seeing in some of the countries. Political certainty that we're beginning to see in some of those countries. The holding of regular democratic elections, the normalization of the politics in most of these countries is leading to a steady flow of foreign direct. Some of the social challenges around sanitation, provision of clean water, opportunities in malaria and other ways. These are the major challenges. Malaria is one of the biggest killers in that region. We have a major challenge in that region of the health, particularly those that are involved in more health problems. Reintegrated into society, take them back to school, engage them in youth programs and programs. Indeed, we also have a big challenge of empowerment of women, also bringing women into the mainstream and ensuring that they play a meaningful role. In terms of regional integration, I think you all are aware that ECOWAS is probably the most advanced regional economic community of the African Union. They've made a tremendous strides on a wide range of areas. You know that ECOWAS, the organ of ECOWAS was played a major role in bringing about the role some of the methods used by ECOWAS, by the question, but the effect of the methods that they both used in Sierra Leone and in the Cote d'Ivoire, quite conservative in Nigeria. And also ECOMOC participates in other more civilian operations to deal with disasters, natural disasters. The French-speaking countries, with the exception of Guinea-Conakry, are members of the Monetary Union, and they use a common currency, the CFA fund. And they also have a common bank, a central bank, the BCE. They also have a customs union, and at the moment they negotiate an FTA, free trade agreement with North African countries, because of the proximity. And in this, they are also working on a protocol around the free movement of people. they have a common visa, arrangement. So, in comparison, I think they are mild arrangement. They provide the issues of integration. And I'm sure there are a lot of good levels we can learn from this country. As the AU summit in Accra, underscored the importance of bringing an economic community building block towards the total integration of the African region, we think that ECOWAS really makes a tremendous strike in that territory. And there's a lot that can be learned. Chairperson, this is a broad overview of the strategic issue, the high-level issue, that contrasts the issue. I'm now going to talk about what it is that we do in the South African industry, our foreign policy industry. And let me say that our foreign policy in West Africa is not different from our foreign policy in the rest of Africa. We don't have a policy in East Africa or North Africa. We have a policy for Africa. But obviously in the application, we take into consideration the dynamics and the nuances that apply. We said that Africa is centered in our foreign policy. South Africa is an African country, and therefore Africa is an important part of South Africa's foreign policy. In the context of West Africa, as we do everywhere else, we want to contribute towards the consolidation of the African agenda, use West African countries as partners in the consolidation of the African agenda. We are pursuing friendly relations with all these countries. Indeed, we are looking at a number of opportunities that are available in those relations, so that these relations can benefit both countries. We want to contribute positively towards stability that region must find peace, that all the countries in that region must be in secure borders. We want to contribute towards both conditions of development. And indeed, we want to make a meaningful contribution towards the prosperity and the development of the region as a whole. So this is what we want to do in the context of the consolidation of the African Union. And also, because these are also countries of the South, we want to engage with other countries of the South to advance the African agenda, engage with trilateral projects with countries of the South for the benefit of some of the West African countries. A concrete example of this is the project that we are involved in with students. Ourselves, the students and the money. Around the provision of health services to certain parts of money. The other project, the one that we want to engage with, is the Brazilian in Guinea-Bissau around poverty alleviation. The concrete South-South cooperation project. Also, we want to engage in North-South dialogue. Bring in some of the developed countries, engage in a dynamic partnership for the development of the web traffic. We also want to use the reformed institution as agent for change in West Africa, in particular in Africa in general. That this organization should place the issue of African development at the center of their agenda, and who want them to adopt policies that assist African countries to deal with the twin challenge of poverty and development. So broadly, this is our, this is what we want to do in West Africa. The consolidation of the African is using south-south, north-south time to advance the cause of Africa. And indeed also using the Mandela Foundation, the UN, WTO, Bretton Woods Institution, IMF, and to advance the cause of development. So this is what we want to do. How we want to go about it is that we want to use the Joint Commission, Bi-National Commission, Bilateral Joint Commission, and so forth. We want to use this instrument through which we consolidate, we give them our relations with West African countries. I think of the how many are they, 15? Yeah, of the 15 countries, I think we have general cooperation agreement with about 13 or so. So we've made since 1994, we've really made good progress in developing a legal framework that is different to our relation with this country. So we have developed this legal framework, which not only gives effect to the relation, but which also makes provision for the establishment of a structured arrangement to which we engage with this country. And these structured arrangements, they compel us to meet on a regular basis, at least once in every 2 years, to identify areas of cooperation, to report on progress, to do reviews, and also to plan ahead. So far, we've made very good progress. For example, in countries like Nigeria, as you know, with the Bi-National Commission, with Nigeria at the level of the Vice President from our side, Deputy President from our side, and then Vice President on their side. We suppose we're preparing now for the convening of the 7th session of the Financial Commission. The Financial Commission, as you will recall, was launched in 1999. In 2 years, we'll be celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Financial Commission. The total volume of trade between us and Nigeria increased considerably, close to $8 billion. Nigeria has got a trade surplus, largely because of the crude oil import. But generally, in terms of the diversity of products, as well as the diversity of investment, we have an advantage because we have good investment in a number of sectors in the Nigerian economy. The Nigerian imports quite a lot of the wide range of products from South Africa. The only significant commodity we import from them is oil. I think in 2006, the total volume of oil imported, the value of oil imported in Nigeria was 5 number of challenges in our relationship with Nigeria, that is completely. We think we need to explore the immense of opportunities and innovation in that relationship. This is one of the biggest challenges that we need to confront in our going forward, because we think the volume of trade carrying between ourselves and Nigeria is not a full reflection of the total position between the two countries. So we need to work hard to unlock that potential, and we need to ensure that there is a market significant increase in the volume of two-way trade between ourselves and Nigeria. This is the biggest challenge, the biggest priority that we have for our country. We continue to work closely with Nigeria on a broadly continental issue, global issue. We work closely with Nigeria to ensure the political cohesion and unity and integration of the African continent within the framework of the AU and guidance and the policies of the We work closely with them to promote food security and stability. Nigeria, as you know, is a major country, not just of the West Africa region, but indeed of the continent. And we think that this strategic partnership we have with them is a constructive and positive partnership that we believe to advance the consolidation of the Africa. Ghana, we have a big challenge also of unlocking the potential. There's a lot of South African companies that can go on in Ghana. There's over 50 South African companies in the Ghanaian economy. Most of those are small to medium sized companies, but they are making a major contribution towards the economic development of that country. As you know, Anglophone and Ashanti of Ghana mentioned creating the biggest gold extracting gold producing gold processing company in Africa. And indeed, we think that the opportunities are not just in the area of mining, but there are other sectors that we need to explore in our relationship with Ghana. So we have very cordial relations with Ghana. This year we launched the Joint Commission at the ministerial level with Ghana. And next year we will do a review and make an assessment of the progress that was made with regard to the various levels of cooperation contained in the joint cooperation agreement that we have. With Mali, we also have projects. A key project we're involved in with Mali is the Timbuktu project that we are all familiar with, which is aimed at ensuring that we preserve the manuscript, the Timbuktu manuscript. So we're involved in that project under the political, overall political oversight of Minister Yu, the President of the Affairs of France. With Guinea, Republic of Guinea, we launched a joint commission last year. And the relations with Guinea they are increasing quite exponentially. Guinea has got a lot of opportunities for South African investors. We will be deploying in the next month or so a team, a multi-disciplinary go to Guinea and to look at the various opportunities that you have. To Senegal and to for stable relations, we still have to launch the joint commission with Senegal. Senegal is a major country. In the context of very influential country, in the context of Brexit, and this Ivory Coast facing the kind of challenges that it is facing, Senegal has in a way been the major focus country in Brexit in West Africa. And we think it's important that we should strengthen our relations with Senegal. As you know, the FAA flies to New York and now to Washington. Funding in Dakar for Senegal provides a good base for South Africa and a major country. In terms of trade relations, that was just a snap overview. Those are not the only relations. There are others, but we take questions to bring back and give to the other countries. In terms of trade relations, I think we've mentioned the point that the relations are regulated by import of crude oil, which is the biggest single transaction that we have in the entire region. We have a trade surplus with all the countries except Mexico. And we export a lot of value-added food and import mainly primary food that's from here. And as we have mentioned, we are highly dependent on primary products. South African companies have invested in most of West Africa, but what we're trying to do, we're trying to encourage our companies to adopt a much more medium, long-term kind of sustainable strategy in their engagement with countries of West Africa and countries of Africa. We would want them to develop strategic partnerships that benefit the local partners so that they can be a transfer of skills and also a transfer of technology. Because we don't want to adopt an approach that says that we want to extract wealth from those countries. Extract as much as possible from those countries and not leave anything behind. We want to empower the local partners so that they can sustain the economy in those countries. We think this is important. In terms of the priorities going forward, indeed we are going to put a lot of effort in strengthening financial relations with those countries. For now, we in keeping with the cabinet directive that we should have a presence in all African countries, we've established 41 missions now in all of Africa. By the end of the year, we'll be having 43 diplomatic missions. And the growth point is West Africa. Last year we established diplomatic missions in Kutuno in Benin and in Ouagadougou in Burkina Faso. This year we established in Niamey in Niger. We also established in Bissau in Guinea-Bissau. We think this is important to give us good diplomatic reach and presence in most of these countries. And indeed, we also want to strengthen cooperation in the various states. We want to continue with our efforts to support those countries to construct and development. is also encouraging to show the cooperation on global platforms. So these are the priorities that we set ourselves for 2007. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vivi, for very informative input. We open up the floor for questions. Advocate Madaka, Sheila Kama, Dorothy, Noah, myself.
Yes, thank you very much, CBG, for the presentation. Indeed, most of our trouble with the, as far as the African agenda in international relations has been emanating from this region, as far as the image of South Africa and the intention of South Africa on the continent. So I think it, for me it's going to be crucial as to now, in France, the guards haven't changed. What is going to be the French foreign policy towards Africa? I think that is going to be a determining factor. But the question I would like to ask is whether you've spoken about bilateral relations to promote trade between South Africa and Europe. But what about region to region? Is there any work being done to promote trade between SADC and ECOWAS? Secondly, I'm happy you mentioned the issue of Niger Delta, because that issue has an impact globally from what I mean in terms of oil prices and so on. I'm happy you mentioned the fact that causes of the problem have to be dealt with, because seems that the Nigerian government is treating this matter as a security issue, conventional security issue, a legal matter that could be resolved by the court. I think that it's not going to take the matter any further. It has to be dealt with as a matter of economic empowerment. So I believe if our government is using its influence, has that the matter should be viewed as a matter of economic empowerment. And lastly, on the issue of South African business, there was a question on the other page, I think yesterday, as somebody asked the question whether they shouldn't be, South Africa shouldn't promote harmonization of labor laws on the continent in order to deal with the allegations of South African business, treatment of local people when they business on the continent. But I think the question was not the answer. At this stage, I don't believe that will solve any problem, the issue of harmonization of labor. I think we are very far from that. But I think that there will be some work done by your department and DTI as far as the code of conduct is concerned. Not so much about the law and punitive measures, but the code of conduct that seeks to harmonize our foreign policy with business conduct on the continent. Thank you.
Thank you,
Sheila.
Thank you,
Didi,
for very informative presentation. I just wanted to ask you, step 7 of the presentation, where you indicate all countries ranked below 120 on the human development index. Could you give us an idea of, you know, of our main trading partners and the countries in which we have committed, which rank higher? In other words, where the standard of living is higher? If you could just give me an indication of where these countries rank, particularly the French.
Thank you very much, DCG. It's always good to have your answer to questions. It's been a very important individually, we are aware that we need a certain person. The economy is through the hands of certain members, not the individual. Now, for the particular company to make a business in this country, that may give it to having a lot of agreements to ensure that the protection of the investment in this country. And also, I'm not sure if those countries do have regulations as well. Which of course take us to the banking system, whether their banking system are reliable or not. I don't know if you can also tell us what is happening in the country and in the room. And the last point is okay. On the mission. You know, I'm trying to think of CBD that is very expensive to run an embassy. And you know, we have small countries like Togo, like Benin. What kind of offices are we going to do?
To what extent does the advantages of the and the communication system exist within the country from the fact? We know that MDN is a fact and driven. The second one is the problem of Ashanti Gold and the gold in Ashanti. How much of the value added benefits accrue? Very nice, very good. But I regret to say some other gospel. Maybe I've overemphasis on trade and more trade. That our bilateral relationships are determined on that basis. I don't disregard and I don't discall the achievement in respect of security and what have you, but it has security. But I think the overemphasis is on trade. Now, the African Renaissance, the best place of the African Union, was a vehicle to achieve that and building blocks of regional established areas to do that. Your presentation here is sufficient to the change. We don't learn as to what are the efforts in the regions on water conservation in addition to it, or soil conservation in addition to it. The thrust of our initiatives in respect of consolidating disease resistance of African disease. In passing, you managed the name, as we mentioned earlier, when, if we take our example in sanitary region, you'll realize that we will not be able to fight malaria if we're good in the past until we address the issue of malaria outside of Britain, outside of our country. So they don't. No boundaries. What I'm saying in the field of health, education, interlocking, networking in the region, I'm not saying the continent as such, in the region itself. It's all very well for us in Paris to have a customs union. It's all very well for them to have a customs union all day in West Africa. But what are we doing in terms of networking education? What are we doing in networking all these issues on the one hand? In the context of this background, I'd like to hear the next briefing as to what has been the role of NGOs, civil society, in enhancing the consolidation of these regional enterprises. I want to give an example. The church as an institution cannot just sit back and say we are mobilizing our people in the name of How much of that mobilization takes place on a daily basis to make the life of Christ livable in the lives of people? How much? What do you think of? Or are they rituals to monitor what government does and what government don't do? What is the proactive role for the African Renaissance to become it? And I think, comrade, not your father, right? He treats me like one. Excellent representation. The division to the extent that he's not contextualized what the African agenda is. And I say that the African agenda cannot exclude this issue, so that human rights as a anchor for our foreign policy becomes a vision.
Thank you. I have a couple of more questions to you. I'm particularly concerned about Cote d'Ivoire. Cote d'Ivoire was, since its independence, was stable and fairly economically developed nation in West Africa. It was an important nation. It had stability under Sebwane for a number of years, despite the fact that there was a large French presence in the country. One of the conditions of for the independence was that the French army would remain on the soil of West Africa. And you find that in many of the French-speaking countries. And despite the fact that it is still the largest grower of cocoa and now second in coffee, and used to be once largest in coffee, but you found a terrible anomaly where the soil, as you said, is very fertile in West Africa. And every single vegetable grown, at least that we found on the shelves in Cote d'Ivoire, in Abidjan, was from France. Even the lowly potato or the lowly tomato. So in that kind of sense, you know, it had started complete control over the economy. In fact, the coffee was grown by people in what you call it. And most of it wasn't grown by Ivoirians. It was controlled by workers that coming from Burkina Faso, from Mali, from Ghana, from that area, who actually created that economic stability for Ivoirians. And yet, that coffee goes to Switzerland and to France and gets processed as Nescafe. You know, so-called best coffee in the world and whatever, and sent out to all over the world. And the French never ever taught them even how to beneficiate their coffee or their cocoa. Of course, when Ivoirien left, you know, when he died, and the problem started to surface. He found Delhi and a whole lot of, and then the whole ethnic thing started to show its ugly face in Cote d'Ivoire. Now, it comes to one of the problems you still have is that the fact that now you have a so-called rebel movement in the north, in Boaké, and the Babos grouping on the coast kind of thing. Now, now there seems to be some semblance, we're not quite there yet, but there seems to be some semblance of the two groupings coming together and actually working for the development of peace and security and economic development in the country. My question is, first of all, how far is that process? Because I think it's an important country in my practice and thinking about. And another thing that I was interested in is in the old days, I don't know, the CFR, talk about the monetary, common monetary policy. The CFR was pegged to the French franc. Is it now pegged to the euro, or what is it? Now that alone is problematic. So when we talk about, you know, independence and economic development, there are all these, to my mind, underhanded issues of control by ex-colonial masters, so to speak. The other question was on page 8, 9, 10, yeah. Here there's a protocol on free movement. Now I'm raising this because it's also significant for us in Sade. We are grappling with the issue. They signed this protocol in 1979 and 1980. And yet, in Côte d'Ivoire, first of all, Africa has always had porous borders. It was during a time of colonization where they came, the colonizers sat down, wrote a map of Africa and decided to make some fancy lines and divide the country people into different countries. So much so that in Côte d'Ivoire you find a street in the southeast where one side is one road, one side is Côte d'Ivoire, the other side is Ghana. And there's one brother living on that side of the street and the other brother living on that side of the street. So, you know, you get those kind of nonsense that what you call the creation, and that's causing a lot of problems. One of the things that came up when the problems in Côte d'Ivoire started was that the Ivoirians then started saying that these people who've been there for generations have to develop the economy of the country, who are not Ivoirians, and they have no rights. They are either from Burkina Faso, or they're from Mali, or from Ghana, or whatever country around them. And I remember going to a conference in Abidjan, and the parliamentarian, I was actually shocked at the kind of aggression they showed in terms of this issue. Now, it was an internal issue. As long as these people worked and provided for the economic development produced the coffee and cocoa, it was okay. When there was political instability, these people were now persona non grata. And that was actually the genesis of the so-called rebel movement that now what you call it. My question then is, what is actually happening? You know, we hear various reports. It's not like one day we hear that things are moving well and there is a chance of solution. On the other side, we still hear the problems. So what is the problem? How far is that peace process going? I know our president tried very hard to bring some kind of sanity to the situation and so on. And in terms of the National Commission, on page 14, we talk about the Republic of Guinea. Which Guinea? There are three Guineas. Guinea-Bissau, Conakry, and Equatorial Guinea. Which one are we actually talking about there? And also the question of trade. I think it is worrying that the trade is skewed. We are importing Vietnamese goods, and we are saying every day that we are worried about our primary commodities going out into the Western world and China, and we want beneficiation. If we want this rule to for us, we also need it if we're serious about the African agenda for other African states. What can we do as a nation to actually assist some of these countries in building capacity for beneficiation? Thank you, Lisa. I think I'll stop there.
Thank you very much. take the questions from the order.
Well, I think as we said on Wednesday, we still try to make an assessment whether there's going to be any policy from Shamsen on France on Africa. It doesn't look like there's going to be any major changes in policy between Chirac and Sarko. Joe said that Sarko is in his seminar speech in Dakar. These are not for the project of developing a partnership with Africa. And I think that was the basis for me that our president went down with that sentiment. Kind of a emphasis, more emphasis on partnership. And less kind of focus on a patronizing kind of relationship of France. So we don't think that there is any major problem for us to have a good relationship, but the balance on that is different. And we want to use that relationship to advance at least in Africa into consolidation of the Africa. With regard to trade between the RSPs, I think it's an important point. As soon as we get our heads together and started, as you know, South Africa will start it from next year. And one of the things that started to actually to do with this as part of the process of economic integration of the region is to adopt the So as soon as we adopt the FTA, the area, the level of traffic, I think it will put us in a good position to engage the other areas, like Comesa, like ECOWAS, like ECAM, Central Africa. So we'll be in a better position to engage the future from bilateral trade and the analysis. So I think we will work towards that. But the first thing for us is that we need to get our equity. The Niger Delta is particularly important. It's not an issue of convention, actually. It's probably an issue of human security. And I think when you describe the new security paradigm, it's not strictly in the field of conventional security, but it includes human security, it includes issues of development. So indeed, I think you correct Niger Delta issue, probably an issue of investment, and that's how we need to do it. There has to be a long-term strategy to deal with the challenge of poverty and other development issues if we want that to be sustainable. The issue of the harmonization of labor laws, I think we'll leave that to the competence of the ministry. But the issue of trade, the conduct of South African business is nothing. I think it's a matter of consensus as well. And I think we would agree that it's important that we engage South African business so that we work on the continent, that it's important that we need to adopt practices that are consistent with our not adopt the practices that are beginning us for that converting the domestic policy of South Africa. They have to conduct themselves in a manner consistent with the constitution and the parliament of South Africa. This is important. And indeed, our constitution and our law do underscore the importance of the treating people in a human, way, in accordance with the accepted convention, whether set by the International Labour Organization or by other relevant institutions. So I think we want to do that. Actually, that's important. We need to do things in a manner that is consistent with our policy. We're working with the CPI to indeed raise the camera, I think I may not be able to give you the precise time which fare well in that HDI region. But one of the countries that indeed fares quite well when it comes to human development in that region is Senegal. Senegal. They have a small population of less than 50 million.
Less than
1.5 million. Small population. I don't have the exact figure now, but there is comparatively small population. And generally, in Senegal, even the preponderance of the absolute poverty, the relative poverty, but the even the preponderance of absolute poverty, they don't have the high infant mortality rate, and the level standard of education are quite high. In that country. But obviously they still struggle with most of the problems that they have to face. But I think of all the countries in that region, they are probably the best position to make the best. The West would be the West would be Niger.
No condition.
Oh, from that list. From that list, to begin.
My colleague is the chair, but not with you.
But in the
collapse. Put it on my pocket.
The West. Broadly in that region would be outside of the former factory would be Guinea Bissau, which is a former Portuguese probably was one of the worst human development in the region. Ghana would follow after Senegal. No, I think we will agree with you that there is a challenge ensuring that the enforcement of the regulatory framework is a big question. I mean, as you would appreciate, most of these countries have never enjoyed sustainable periods of peace. It's been cool, it's been conflict. And as a result, there has never been any predictable instrument to ensure that the good governance at the political level, that the good corporate governance at the level of the management of the economy
this has been a big challenge. In the youth, these countries are just only now. They are only now. They are only now that they are enjoying leadership. And only now that they are various structures to enforce practices associated with the at the same time. So it's still a big challenge to help with. We have reciprocal promotion protection investment at the moment with most of the countries. So we have this international which protects and promotes investment. With regard to the situation of the MTN, the president of the EU is here as well. Discussing this with our president, I would imagine that probably these issues are always in the discussion. And I would imagine that the two presidents of my head are free from every forum. So I hope this will not be a problem going forward. We have not received any protest. I would think the two presidents have agreed out. Lastly, as you know, the problem of MTN revolves around the issue of licensing. The government has made amendments to the regulatory framework, which seems to have on MTN. Consequence of that change in the requirements for MTN continue. And these changes in the requirements had a serious financial implications for MTN, because it meant they had to pay a huge amount of money. But now, as I say, the issue has become to get this ready as well. Insofar as the opening of new machines, you ask the question whether I'm opening a full-fledged machine in the new. Yes, it's a big embassy led by an ambassador. The ambassador has not yet been appointed, but we have a chassis affair and an administrative official currently in Portugal. So we hope that as soon as possible an ambassador will be appointed for that time. We've taken the view that we can't give these African countries as if they are junior partners and just open embassy, but we have to open full-fledged embassy because these are sovereign independent countries. The only question we can look at is the number. So we will not deploy really a lot of people in Portugal. We just have about 4 countries across Africa, because also the deployment of numbers with the intensity of the interaction and the quality. At this stage, we think we can do with the number of people that we have been appointed. I think
link your response to the MTN issue with different efforts.
EFCOM is that just wondered for the effect that there's a project that we run with the general monetary and money around the generation in some way. As we said, you're correct. I mean, we say our work an attempt just to do an overview and really not to be but to do an overview of the history, where the region comes from, to describe the current political situation and the challenges. The economic situation as well as social and then to indicate what is it that we need for us as we. So this was a great that the portfolio commission has given. We never thought that we'd even hear 2 hours, it would be possible to do a comprehensive and exhaustive analysis of the and we decided to limit ourselves to the that would tie also to the comprehension of the question about the role of NGOs, I think it's something that we need to work on. As you know, because of the history of this country, where most of them were run by the military, there was only state, there was no room for organizing. It's only now we see measures of democracy opening up of police country that we are beginning to see much more of the plethora of the organs of civil society. And we're starting this process now of engaging with civil society, because it's an important element of democratization and of stability. So it's something that we really need to work on. Second, I think you correct in your analysis of the genesis of the problem, how the crisis has evolved. So, in terms of where we are at now, as you know, the peace process is currently being mediated by President Tom Mawore. And there's been several meetings between President Paco and Prime Minister Soro to try and deal with some of the outstanding issues and to move the process forward. The key challenges at the moment revolve around the issue of the identification. The issue of identification has to do with one of the fundamental causes of the issue, which is the issue of Ibori Gate, the issue of the now, in terms of the existing agreement, the parties have agreed to what they call the French audience for them, which is a public hearing. So they are supposed to have public hearing. It has a private program like that, where people go in and give evidence, either oral or documented, in the form of documentation that they are animated. And then the judges decide over that, decide on the and then they give them the ID. So these audience for any process have not yet started to come here. But they've agreed, they met 2 weeks ago with one of them, and they've agreed that this audience for any process have not yet started the method. So that people can go in and present themselves because without that, they can't proceed with the election. But as you know, the new forces in the northern part of the country, they claim that there's millions of people who have been disenfranchised as a result of the policy of isolation, and that until that time that these people are given back the citizenship, they're not prepared to accept that the candidate democracy cannot have elections in that country. So this is a big challenge, the challenge of identification. The other challenge is around the CDR, the disarmament, demobilization, and the reintegration of the combatants. It's still a big challenge. Even though the hostilities between the rebels and the government have ceased, the rebels, they still hold their position. They have not just been demobilized and
has not been confirmed. So the confirmation process still has to happen. And the other comment is the issue of the rank of officials. The new forces are demanding senior rank as a condition for their integration into the unified army force of Ivory. And some of the people who are making this demand were former members of the regular army, and they left the regular army very senior rank. And 2-3 years, something like they want the very senior. So it's a big challenge. So those of you participated in our own process at the beginning. So these are the major challenges. Over and above that, the other challenge is to deploy a surprise administration of the administration throughout the length of the crisis. Because as you know, the country was divided into government services that collapsed in the north. Like health, provision of health services, education, immigration services, all those services, provision of electricity, provision of water, all those basic services that collapsed in the north. Now the big challenge is to redeploy these services. Government has been given to the north now with the new system. They have access. But it's just a huge challenge because the infrastructure is important due to the rehabilitation. Schools, clinics, of course, the rehabilitation, roads, infrastructure, electricity, bridges. So it's just a huge challenge to redeploy the services of the state throughout the system. So these are the major political challenges that are facing the Ivory Coast at the moment. The CFE, yes, is pegged to the euro. It was pegged to the French franc, but with France money to the euro zone.
It's
not on parity with the euro. Oh, okay. So that's the problem. Yeah. The question of the euro about that is given for actually the trade is huge. Where the trade surplus is almost always something that we need to use. We have agreed that we need to assist these countries to develop an industrial base and to develop the capacity for manufacturing and for beneficiation. So in our engagement, when our business, as we say, when our people engage in this country, we always encourage them to develop the skills, to transfer, to assure the technology and we've agreed in the system that we have to assist these countries to develop their own capacity. But it's going to be a big challenge.
But the rules for the solar monitoring is difficult because we were concerned when we go to some of the African countries, take for instance in Mozambique, we find it for South African shop like ShopRite is not engaging the local people, like all the vegetables, all the stuff in the shop is coming from South Africa.
So they are not building the local economy, whereas we want the economic independence of those countries.
Then,
the
commission on this last point.
Yeah.
I had a decision. Link to USDI. Post 1994, most of the Western countries felt somewhat more confident to invest in the rest of Africa by while the head office of the main floor and the interior office invested in China. The guarantee is given by South Africa. So the question of FDI from South Africa means that they do this.
I wanted to ask about your Francophone as an organization. Are we a member of the Art Observer? Because remember, there is this suspicion that we are a conduit of the fish business. We always suspect that we represent somebody else. So, what is our status in Francophone?
No, we're not going to have a lot of that yet.
Yeah. Before I thank UDG, I have a concern. I'm concerned about the U.S. presence in the Sahel, or the so-called identification of the area of terrorism. Now, it is a great concern because it's not only the Sahel, but there's enormous U.S. presence in Angola. So one has to ask the question whether it's terrorism that the U.S. is interested in, whether it's in fact true that the Sahel is a breeding ground for terrorism, or whether the U.S. is interested in the possible oil that is to be found, that there are some reasons that there is oil in Niger and around, in Mauritania for that matter.
Okay.
And it's in?
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, when we discuss these issues with the U.S. and with these countries, because these countries are very poor countries, and I think we can, of course, impose our presence on them, but we can discuss these issues not falling into the trap of so many other African states are falling into. By, you know, like in Princeton, Iraq, making a statement that the Bin Laden in Iraq, when he never was there, and the weapons of mass destruction, and there were no Iraqi Muslims, and then invade those countries, which was simply because of control over the forces of those countries. Do we actually engage with our counterparts in this? So I think when one travels to these countries and you see the countries, these people are there is real poverty there, you know, and they're trying to hold on to whatever they can get. What can we, South Africa? We are more developed than a whole host of countries in Africa. And maybe it is our duty to actually engage with the possible avenues that they are not, they are back, are not at the end of the war. They do have our options. So that means we have to do our homework to actually discuss and debate where there are options and what kind of options there are. Thank you. And with that, I'd like to thank the VDG very much and his team for coming to Cape Town. And on behalf of the committee, we'd like to thank you and present this to you. I think it makes for very interesting reading, as you know, soon find out. And with that, thank you very much for all for coming on a Friday morning. Most of our people are not being here. But we thank you very much for coming. Thank you all of you. And enjoy your weekend, folks. Thank you. Thank you.
I hope it's the last one.
Thank you. Sorry, can I get a digital copy of that presentation? Or is it
PNG?
Yeah. Or is it sensitive?